Consequence Podcast Network. Tour set pop.
Bora Hey, Iconic Army.
Bora Hey.
Oh my gosh. So 3D by Jungkook is out and we are enjoying it so much.
Yes.
Initially, when I first saw the teasers, I was like, oh my gosh, this is giving like 2000s Justin Timberlake vibes. Mm-hmm. And when the music video came out, for me, that was totally confirmed.
Absolutely confirmed. Yeah. With Jungkook's vocals,
too. The vocals for real. Yeah. I mean, incredible. And so I was really vibing with that early 2000s, like kind of pop vibe the whole time. And I loved the song the first time I listened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the song the first time listening through, but it didn't catch me just like how Seven did. Seven really caught me from the first listen, so it's grown on me over time.
Yeah.
But yeah, the teaser, I think in the teaser he has the sledgehammer, right? And he's walking towards the fire hydrant. Uh-huh. And we're like, oh boy, if we get a sledgehammer shot, like, oh my god.
Of him swinging that sledgehammer? Yeah. Oh my, that's all I needed.
Yeah, you know, that was we all were anticipating that from the teaser.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, as the song came out and as we listened to it more, especially seeing it with the music video, I think some fair criticism came about as well. So
absolutely,
we'll definitely be talking about everything that we love about the song, but also discussing some pretty fair criticism about the song as well.
My number one album, big shocker to me, also Folklore.
Whoa.
Are you ready to dive into all things Taylor Swift?
Good for a Weekend is the ultimate podcast for any Swiftie.
With new episodes dropping bi-monthly, as well as bonus episodes to give you real-time reactions to the latest rumors and news, it's your one-stop shop for all things T-Swift.
We also love connecting with our fellow Weekenders, so be sure to connect with us on Instagram, Twitter, and or Discord to share all your Taylor thoughts.
Good for a Weekend is available wherever you get your podcasts.
I know.
Folklore just is that. Like, it's a perfect album.
Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right. Today, we're going to hang out for about an hour and we're going to be talking all about 3D. We're going to get into the production, the lyrics of the song, the style of the song. We'll get a little bit into the collaboration and then also the music video and the performance video as well.
Yeah. But before we get into it too much, we want to say thanks, Iconics, for being here and for supporting us. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our episode docs, our monthly virtual Iconic Hangouts, and our sound checks, please consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/standingbts.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/standingbtspodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out bi-weekly episodes, but any type of support is super appreciated. Thank you all for being here.
Yeah, thanks so much. I know that it's October now, but it is still Hispanic Heritage Month, going from September 15th to October 15th. So we are still going to ask you guys to support Raices, the Refugee and Immigrant Center for Education and Legal Services, that amazing nonprofit agency that promotes justice by providing free and low-cost legal services to underserved immigrant children, families, and refugees. Super important and incredible work that they do. You can donate at raicestexas.org or find the link in the episode description.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get into the song. This is 3D by Jungkook featuring Jack Harlow. So this song was written and produced by Blood Pop and David Stewart, and also written by Jack Harlow. Jack Harlow, if you're not familiar, he's an American rapper, and he's probably most popular for his song What's Poppin' that came out in 2020. It really blew up on TikTok, and then a couple more established rappers at the time remixed it with him, which made it blow up even further. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the vibes of this song. Like we already said, major 2000s vibes. Like, we get NSYNC vibes, Justin Timberlake vibes.
Strong JT vibes.
I'm so here for it. Like, yeah. I don't think I've ever shared this on the pod before, but I'm a big Justin Timberlake fan.
You are.
I went through a massive JT phase in high school. Like, I was listening to all of his albums. albums every day. Like, I really like his music. Like, mm-hmm. just his, I don't really know too much about him himself. Like, I didn't go on that end. I wasn't like a K-pop fangirl yet. Yeah. But like, his music, I love it. So when I got that vibe with this song, I was really thoroughly enjoying it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like Jungkook's timbre and tone in this song is very Justin Timberlake in like the best way.
Oh, it absolutely is. Yeah. And I feel like Jungkook has had a little bit of that tone in his voice, but I don't know if it's just the style of the song and how the song is produced or the arrangement of it. I'm not too sure, but his voice sounds so similar to JT's tone too. So I just immediately got that from it too. And it just adds to that additional 2000s feel.
Well, I just wonder if like now with the opportunity to sing fully in English and like with this music style, we're relating the two and maybe they have been so similar all this time, just because we know Jungkook has incredible vocals. He has like that incredible range. He can get all the high notes and, you know, all the way down to the low notes and with such richness and incredible control. And I feel like people have said the same thing about Justin Timberlake too. So but either way, absolutely loving Jungkook's vocals on this song.
Me too. In terms of the instrumental and the production side of it, there's this real strong, funky bass that plays throughout. And it again, is very reminiscent of just early 2000s music. There's drums that have these more heavy cymbals that they play throughout. And then, of course, there's this electric piano that also is just a little funky. There's a little bit of a groove to this song, but also very pop and like a little bit of hip hoppy, but strong pop.
Yeah, I think that funky groove that like the bass brings in definitely gives it more of that 2000s era in there.
Yeah.
One thing I forgot to mention about Jungkook's vocals is that he's doing all of these like runs and harmonies all throughout the song. And I feel like every time I listen, I hear something new that I didn't notice prior. And one thing that I really want you guys to listen for is after the second chorus where he says in motion in 3D, there's like this low register harmony that is so sexy.
It's so low though. Like
so low.
Once you actually pointed it out and I heard it, I was like, dang, how did I not hear this before? But very sexy.
Yeah. I mean, and that's really him the whole time. And what's great too, in the live performance video, we really get to hear him put all of those harmonies and vocal runs in live, which is so incredible. But yeah.
That's a really cool part. And then there's also him in the chorus. He does these echoes of the main lyrics there.
Oh, yeah.
And the echo, it's not just like your typical kind of like call and response or like a little echo response. It sounds like he's whispering into your ear. And it's just very, very sexual, you know, very, I don't know.
I just love that you put it that way because it totally is like he's leaning in and whispering it right
to you.
It really
is. He's like, so if you're ready. It's like, okay. All right, Jungkook.
Just seduce us all.
Just seduce us all. Yeah. Right? I mean, yeah.
Right.
Okay, let's go ahead and get into the lyrics for 3D. And then I just have to say the intro I think is really clever and how he says 1, 2, and then it should be 3, but he says 3D. Very clever. Yeah. I think that's cute.
Super cute.
I like it. So in the very first verse, I would have to say, like, you can see even in the music video, he's holding on to like a payphone. And in the lyrics, he says, I can't touch you through the phone or kiss you through the universe. And that really reminded me of Soulja Boy's Kiss You Through the Phone, which is also a very like 2000s kind of song. And then the use of through the universe made me think of BTS's like My Universe and just like the BTS universe. So I felt like it was a very clever play on words here. And I feel like it bridges like the BTS world and just like this very 2000s American pop sound.
Right. Kind of blending them all together. Yeah totally. Mm-hmm. Also already kind of setting you up as the listener to like fantasize as yourself in this role, that he's really talking to you, ARMY, his fan.
It feels that way. I will say consistently with Jungkook's single songs that we've gotten so far, I feel like ARMY is always the subject. Like, I really get that. And I try not to, like, actively think that way. But it's just all I can see is he's addressing ARMY.
Yeah.
He goes on to say, like, in another time zone, it's the only time I can't reverse. Just, you know, wanting to be with someone in a different time zone. Like, I don't know. I just feel like he's thinking about all of the armies around the world.
Right. Especially as he's like constantly on live with us and yeah. like blurring those lines of what a parasocial relationship
truly
is and should
lines.
Be.
Yeah.
Like we have iconics telling us they're concerned about how much he is blurring those lines sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, maybe it's not army. It could be he's flirting with whoever, but it's very flirtatious.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. It's easy though. Like you brought up with Taeyong's album, it very much feels like his album is to someone that he was in a relationship with. Mm-hmm. And it's harder to visualize yourself as army as like being in that role because it does seem so distinct that he has a direct message for someone here.
Yeah.
But with Jungkook's songs here, you know,
it's so general.
Yeah, it's more general. You're uh-huh. able to, you know, like play in that yeah. idealization a little bit more. Mm-hmm.
Which also makes me feel like it could be like he didn't write the lyrics of this song, which makes me feel like it could just be this generalization of like Western pop music. They have similar totally. Lyrics like this.
Similar like, themes all the time yeah, like that. Yeah.
yeah. So it could be that too and why it feels a little bit more general. It's a very, there's no specific subject here.
Right.
Yeah. So in the pre-chorus, he says, I just want to see you like that. So like he's saying he doesn't want to be in this two-dimensional universe anymore, looking through the phone, talking through the phone, that he wants it in 3D,
yeah.
right? Like he wants to be together in person.
IRL, right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, IRL.
He goes into the chorus saying, so if you're ready and if you'll let me, I want to see it in motion in 3D. And so I just love this, that he's like a consent king.
I love the consent.
This is so much like, this is what early 2000s music was lacking. And Jungkook is like seizing his opportunity to like set it right here. Because if you're ready, if you'll let me, you know, mm-hmm. like he's not going to just impose himself just because he wants to, you
right.
know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he says, you won't regret me, champagne confetti. So like you won't regret, you know, having him, da 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 da, because he can provide you with
yeah.
champagne confetti, which is a euphemism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like a great time, though, right?
I mean.
Like, I, you know, I'm an alliteration queen. I yeah. love me some alliteration. So the champagne confetti, I also, like, my favorite, like, alcoholic beverage is champagne.
Yeah.
Like, sparkling wine is my all-time favorite.
Right.
And I like to party.
You love a good party.
Yeah, yeah, right? So I'm like,
pop that confetti, bitch.
Champagne
yeah.
confetti sounds great.
Right.
But
Jungkook wants to, like, shower in your champagne confetti.
I know.
Yeah.
It's a very dirty
uh-huh.
term.
But it's really great here in these lyrics. Like,
yeah, it yeah. has a nice ring to it.
Yeah. I mean, it gives lots of great positive visuals if you don't know what it means.
What it means, right,
yeah.
exactly.
And it's like really, I mean, it's a fun alliteration.
It's just, yeah, yeah, it's a really fun time is how you can envision it if you don't
yeah.
know the euphemism.
Right.
Yeah.
Jungkook's going to take us there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. So then in the post chorus, he's saying, because you know I like it, girl, 3D. And this, to me, is the part that is, like, screaming Justin Timberlake.
It's like, also, I think, the most catchy part.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all catchy. But, yeah. like, the post-chorus, I'm like, you know I like it, girl.
Yeah. yeah. Right when I was reading these lyrics, I resisted singing it. So
yeah.
maybe you're right. It mm-hmm. is, like, the catchiest because mm-hmm. it's so good.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I love how he sounds at that part.
Yeah, it does sound very, very Justin Timberlake
yeah.
at that part. So in the second verse, he says, body to body to body, you and me, baby, you know we got it. So don't go getting me started because you know I'm hot hearted.
Oh,
man. And in the music video, that's when his like he's wearing the jacket and he has no shirt underneath and he's like fanning himself with the jacket. Like,
dying.
Oh, yeah, he is
oh,
hot hearted. And then he says, you're making me crazy. Rain, rain, rain. You can't fake it. You give me brand new emotion. You got me drinking that potion. So body to body to body and the rain, rain. Very like sexual visuals here. And the you can't fake it, I think also really is playing
yeah.
off of the champagne confetti.
For sure.
But she's driving him crazy, you know, whoever this person is. They're
yeah.
making him crazy, drinking that potion. Like makes you think of like love potion.
Yeah,
like,
drinking that potion.
Fully falling right. in love, you
right.
know.
Totally.
He's obsessed.
He can't do anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in the second chorus, this is like that part where you got to listen to the end for that lower register in 3D. But what we noticed about the choruses is that he switches up his ad-libs a little bit, the ad-libs that he's uh-huh. whispering in your ear. So like on this one, he'll say like, hey, show me, girl, like, ooh, fuck, yeah. you know, yeah.
whispering and, it
yeah whispering it in your ear, like, listen with headphones in, because my goodness. So I just had to point that out because yeah. it's amazing.
Yeah, it's yeah. great. All right.
Okay, so let's get into the
Jack
criticism.
Harlow. This is where most of the criticism comes from, yeah. is Jack Harlow's verse.
Yeah.
So before even reading into the lyrics, like, I just want to talk about the 1-2-3-4 part. I think this is the part that rubbed a lot of armies the wrong way, me included. Like, first time listening through, not even really looking at the lyrics.
Just seeing the visual in the music video.
Yeah. It comes off as it's like degrading and objectifying women. So that aside, like, I just want to talk about the straight up delivery that Jack Harlow has in his verse too. So like the 1-2-3-4 part, he slows down the beat and, you know, some of the instrumental drops. And personally, I really love it when songs slow it down. You know, they slow it down in parts. I feel like it adds a lot of really great effect. I love how it can really add to a build in a song. I love when instrumental gets stripped out and it's just vocals. But for him, this is like one of the only times I have ever felt that this type of technique fell like extremely flat. It was so flat for me. That 1-2-3-4 part, like, it's just the rhythm is off mm-hmm. to me. It seems a little offbeat. Like, it just, I don't know. I feel like if you're gonna take the time to slow the beat and space out the lyrics like that, like, the delivery has to be there, and it just seems out of place. Yeah. It seems poorly arranged. It's not delivered how it should be. And so not only does the slowing it down and spacing out his lyrics like that, you know, bring attention to it just because it's a huge change up, it's also like the rhythm is so bad that it stands out even more. And then, like, if it's standing out so much in these lyrics, he's basically saying, like, one girl is boring.
Right.
And that, you know, he almost finds it humorous or funny that, you know, he or this other guy is whoring around with four other girls.
Right. Just to even call a woman boring, a woman yeah. that, like, gives you the opportunity to have sex, and you're going to say that you're bored by that. Like, yeah. that is so gross.
Yeah, it's gross.
So gross. Yeah. What I get from that particular part of the song, too, is, like, Robin Thicke, Blurred Lines.
Mm-hmm,
like,
absolutely.
Remember when that song came out, and we all loved that song? Like, everybody was going bananas over that song. We had it on repeat.
Uh-huh.
And then we all started to listen to it a little bit closer, and mm-hmm. people started to, like, analyze the lyrics, and, like, oh, this song is hella misogynistic and yep. gross. That's this.
That is this.
That's exactly this right here.
Yeah.
And he's doing the same thing, like, really objectifying these women and mm-hmm. stripping them of any other value besides providing him pleasure,
right.
and he's bored by them.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty terrible. And then along with the music video, just like the visual representation of these women all wearing the same exact outfit and lining up next to him, kind of behind him almost, it just is like, it really is objectifying women. Like, yeah. it degrades them down to just like a list of numbers.
It made me think about, like, how a team will wear the same uniform, and he's uh-huh. like, I've got these women on my roster.
Right.
Like, I could put them on deck anytime.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was super gross.
Yeah.
And then even in that same verse, he has this line where he's like, I seen that body, like, what does he say? When I seen that body, you would think it was a dead body, the way I told my boys, come look. So I think this is akin to, like, when men see a really fine woman, or when they start talking to a really fine woman, like, they want to show her off to their friends. Or if they see mm-hmm. a hot woman, like, men will, like, be like, damn, look at her, type of thing. But to relate it, analogize it to being a dead body, like, and that's, like, completely stripping the woman of her life
yeah.
and of everything she has to bring to the table, and literally just focusing on what her body has to offer. And apparently it's so good that you're like, guys, come look, as fast as you would tell someone
right.
to come look at a dead body. But to me, that's also just, like, super fucked up. Like, really gross. And then I want to talk about the ABGs line. So he
yeah.
says, all my ABGs get cute for me. That's right before the 1-2-3-4 part.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't familiar with this term before, but it means Asian baby girl. And apparently it was taught to him by an Asian woman. I saw a TikTok, her TikTok, showing the video where she was like, so I taught Jack Harlow what Asian baby girl meant. And like now it's in this song because he was signing something for her and she wanted him to sign it to his Asian baby girl, to his ABG. So she was like, can you sign it to my ABG? And then he was like, oh, what does that mean? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So this terminology was taught to him by someone who wanted to be called that. But like, does that give him the permission to then go and use this term in a song?
Yeah.
And for me, like coming from a white man, I feel like there's a power dynamic between him and Asian women
Absolutely.
That just cannot be overlooked.
Yeah.
And additionally, saying my ABGs gives like this gross ownership that again comes off as like misogynistic while also infantilizing Asian women by calling them baby girl. Mm-hmm. Like it really didn't sit right with me either. Like I know that it was taught to him by someone who was like claiming that term, wanted that to be what they were called. But like, I still don't feel like that gives him the right to go and use it whenever he wants, you know, and to generalize.
I think it's the generalization.
His last line in his verse says like, let the whole world know my name. And I just, one last thing I wanted to say is like, probably not a good thing, bro.
Yeah.
Like you probably, the whole world of ARMY, you probably did not want us to know your name, at least not with this verse.
Not with this verse.
It was super disappointing to get this verse from Jack Harlow. Like I'm not a big fan of his. I've heard a couple songs, but
I don't know any of his songs. Even that most popular song, you played it for me, Kayla, and I was like, I guess I wasn't on TikTok yet when this came out, because I really do not listen to his music. And I have heard his name though, and I know like he's a big artist now. So to me, I was maybe a little excited because I was like, oh yeah, like these are two big names, like it kind of seems like it would fit, right, this collaboration,
right?
But the execution of his verse is so poor that, you know, and we're also coming off of 7 with Lotto's verse, which Lotto's verse was not clean by any means, but it wasn't like putting anyone down or degrading or, you know, anything like that.
Right.
And her verse was just so fantastic that, you know, Jack Harlow's verse just is very disappointing. And especially for this demographic where we're mostly women.
Right.
Not a fan.
Yeah. I mean, one immediate like thing that I was saying about the song was, okay, well, this is a rap verse, like maybe it's not that bad, like in the context of rap music and other rap songs, you know. But at the same time, like even if this type of thing is said throughout songs nowadays anyways, like in Western rap culture, like he needs to know his audience. Who's going to be consuming this music? Like, it's not his male, probably super male fan base that probably would never even think twice about those lyrics.
Yeah.
It's a majority female fan base that is going to be listening to and consuming this music.
Right.
And you come across as reducing us to objects and, you know, just like super misogynistic is not the way to get us to enjoy your part of the song at all.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, and also, I'm sorry, like the delivery, the poor delivery of the slow up of the 1, 2, 3, 4 part. Like, I just have to put this in there. If you want to hear a good delivery of really slowing down a rap verse and making it hit hard, go listen to Deshwita. Like,
hell yeah.
That's a great example of it.
Yeah. And this is
Minyoongi always doing it right.
Minyoongi always fucking does it right.
Yeah. Like, it has a lot of impact. I love it when that is done in a song. Mm-hmm. And I just made me really not care for him as a rapper.
Yeah, sorry. It stood out in the worst ways. Nothing about it was good, especially that part. And it was super disappointing because I was excited to see like Jungkook English song with a rap verse. You know, I felt like that could feel very BTS with having that addition of rap in there.
I mean, we loved Lotto's verse in 7.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. And he Jack Harlow is a big name. And to me, it was like, oh, that collaboration seems like it could really work.
Yeah.
But I think it shows that Jack Harlow maybe doesn't know much about Jungkook and about ARMY as a fandom.
I would think so. And what's interesting is at the release of this song, when this song dropped, if you download the whole like single, it comes with this song, the instrumental version, and then an alternative version,
mm-hmm.
and or the an alternate version.
Yeah.
And the alternate version is exactly the same, except for it just doesn't have Jack Harlow's part mm-hmm. at all. Same lyrics from Jungkook completely. And this is so interesting because, like you said, Lotto was on Jungkook 7, and there were two different versions of 7, but both of them had Lotto, regardless of her verse. Her verse was explicit. Her verse did have sexual innuendos throughout, mm-hmm. but in the explicit version of the song, she was there. And in the clean version of the song, she was also there.
Yeah.
So to me, that, I mean, and I know some ARMY felt uncomfortable with the explicit version, and like the producers knew ahead of time, okay, that's why we need a clean version where yeah. he just says loving instead of fucking. So them knowing that, I feel like they also knew that the producers of the song or Jungkook himself knew that Jack Harlow's verse would not be well received by ARMY.
Absolutely.
And so therefore, at the same time as the original version came out, they released the alternate version without him. So if you didn't like his version, you could listen to it as much as you want without him.
I find that so interesting and very telling, mm-hmm. very telling that the producers working on this song knew that it wouldn't be everyone's cup of tea hearing Jack yeah. Harlow's verse. And so the alternate version doesn't have his verse in it. And I find that so, so telling, because 7 had a clean version and Lotto's verse was not taken out. That shows me that, like, hey, people didn't like fucking in 7, that they're like, we need an alternate version without it. And then they have this song with Jack Harlow, and they just are like, not everyone is going to like this Jack Harlow's verse. So
it's just, it's crazy to yeah. me though, because a one word change to make like a clean version is vastly different than cutting an entire section of the song. Like mm-hmm. to me, that should have screamed red flag, should we even put out this version with Jack Harlow to begin with? Like yeah. if you have to change it so drastically.
I'm curious to what other kind of strings were being pulled or behind like what scenes contracts for this collaboration. Or something. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But you would think it's Hybe. They have all the money in the world. They can break a damn contract if they don't think that the artist they're collaborating with is going to fit the look that they're going for or yeah. is going to resonate with their audience, you know?
Yeah.
I just don't know. We have no idea what was going on behind the scenes. There could have
been some strategy behind it. Right. Yes.
Totally. Yeah. Or maybe Jungkook is, I don't know, maybe they're trying to appeal to that more male Western audience at the same time, since he already has all the
that's a fair
female
point.
Audience, you know, like yeah. they want Jack Harlow's fans to listen to this song, not just ARMY to listen to the song.
Yeah.
And I guess Jack Harlow's fans are accustomed to verses like this from him. So maybe that's some of it, but
that could be.
Yeah.
Could
but be. I do think it's super interesting, super telling. People knew that this would not, that his verse would not be well received, and that's why they put out the alternate version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just want to continue off of that, of like, you know, Hybe and the producers working with Jungkook, like, could have foreseen this happening, that ARMYs wouldn't like it, because it reminds me a lot of like War of Hormone and ARMY's response to War of Hormone, you know. War of Hormone had that similar misogynistic elements, and so it received a ton of criticism from ARMY when it came out, and BTS felt super apologetic for the song's themes, and they even like spoke to a women's studies college professor to kind of learn more about women's rights and history following the release of that song. So to me, it just makes a lot of sense that ARMYs don't align with the message being delivered in Jack Harlow's verse.
Yeah, totally. Because it was, you know, some of those same ARMYs that were calling it out back then mm-hmm. and just saying that it wasn't okay then. It's still not okay
it's
now.
It's still not okay now.
Definitely not yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But definitely could see where they were going with this collaboration. From an outward perspective, these two are around the same age, very much prominent in the Western pop music scene. So it makes sense, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that, like, maybe if Jungkook weren't in this song, maybe we wouldn't be as critical of the lyrics. Maybe people wouldn't be as critical of the lyrics, just because it is Jungkook. It is an extension of BTS and what we know, and like our culture as a fandom, and the, you know, what we are accustomed to from them,
yeah.
you know. But these lyrics really aren't that dissimilar to anything we typically hear in Western pop and rap.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's kind of a conundrum, but I do feel like all artists need to be aware of their audience and who's consuming their music.
Right.
And that's definitely not something that Jack Harlow considered in his feature on this song.
Yeah, agree with that.
But
in terms of the song itself, mm-hmm. it's really grown on me. I really love the song.
Yeah, me too. I absolutely love the song. And all of Jungkook's parts, all of his lyrics are incredible.
Uh-huh.
Like, no qualms with anything that he says. Mm-hmm. He is a gentleman. He is attractive. He is everything that we want.
Yeah.
And his vocals are incredible.
Incredible.
Just phenomenal. Yeah. I can't
emphasize how much the song has grown on me.
Yeah.
I really do like it. It's very catchy. It's a good tune.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's hard to like go back and then try to decide which do you like more, 7 or 3D.
I think I still like 7 more.
Yeah. I think if 3D,
7 had me in a chokehold from the start.
So true. Like we kind of talked about this yesterday, and the second you put on 7, I was like, fuck, it's so good.
Yeah.
But I really love this song. I really love it. And I need to give like the alternate version. Like, wouldn't it be amazing and hilarious if like we charted the alternate version and not even like the version with Jack Harlow? Like, they'd be like, shit. Like, dang,
we can't deny that Jungkook is giving us some major bops.
Yeah,
I would say like of the solo releases, I would say that he's giving us like the strongest like radio play bops, easy listening,
totally.
Like, yeah, super catchy.
Totally.
Songs.
And it's only 2 songs.
Higher
but they
energy,
have,
too.
Yeah, higher energy, and they have such replayability. And it's only 2 songs. So I'm super excited for when he does drop that full album. And
I'm sure
it's just going to be full of amazing songs like this.
Right.
Yeah. So let's
get into the music video and maybe talk a little bit about the choreo too, as we're talking about the music video.
For sure.
When the teaser came out and like the initial starting of the music video where Jungkook is on this white staircase, Kayla, you had messaged me and you're like, it reminds me so much of like, or you late to No.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, absolutely. It reminds me of that white staircase too.
And in that, BTS, they're all walking down these white stairs, and who's in the middle? Jungkook.
Mm-hmm. yeah but now we've got present day Jungkook, 2023 Jungkook,
still climbing those stairs.
And even though he's shirtless, there's still a level of class going on because he's in a white like tux, like suit jacket.
Yeah.
And oh, it just looks incredible. He looks so hot. I'm so sorry.
Good. No, don't even apologize, because you're so true. Like, freaking hot. And the like, thank goodness that he's still wearing the suit jacket, like, because it's enough just getting that little bit of skin. There's definitely plenty of shots where you see like full chest, full torso,
right?
And it's already too much. Like, it's all we can handle. So the white suit looks incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then we see him on a payphone, which is so perfect. Like, you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but that immediately puts us visually back into like the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
The last time anyone used a payphone, probably. So he's calling you up, you know, when can I see you, girl?
Mm-hmm.
And then we see him dancing on this like mirrored stage with all of the background dancers dancing to the chorus. And immediately when I saw this visual, I know a lot of people, it brought them back to like early 2000s music videos like MTV. For me, it made me think of BTS Not Today when they're like dancing on the salt flats on like that reflective stage. I was like, Jungkook, what are you referencing?
Yeah. I could see that too. The outfits too of the backup dancers and like this all jean look is very early 2000s. It's the color of the denim too.
Yeah, like it's Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears jean outfits at the Grammys.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, so it for sure takes me to like early 2000s too. There's also like some camera work where he like spins the camera around. I'm getting a little ahead of myself on it, but like that spinning of the camera with like a fisheye lens type of look, also very early 2000s music video.
Definitely, definitely. Did you want to talk about the stage
itself?
Your thoughts on that?
You know, I found it interesting on why they chose, you know, this mirror stage. And as you watch the music video, it made me think like you can see the reflection of not only the people dancing on it, but also the reflection of the sky, the reflection of the city buildings around them, which I think adds this extra dimension going on, almost like it's not obviously like 3D, but it's giving off a different dimensional look. And I feel like that might be what they're going for here.
Totally.
By having the mirror.
I love your thinking on that. I think that is so smart. And I think they had to be thinking that too. Like, we need the visual of the reflection. Let's get in. You better get that high shot, you know, because it does. It makes it feel that like it's popping off the screen more.
Yes, it adds an additional dimension to the music video.
Totally. I have to mention these two guys that we see in the music video. One guy walks up and he sits down kind of on the side of the street and puts a pair of headphones on. Mm-hmm. And then it's like once he puts the headphones on, he's zapped into this Jungkook performance area where he can hear it. And then as Jungkook is performing on this mirrored stage, we see this dude kind of like stroll by on a horse, like turn and look like, what's going on over here? To me, like, this goes back to what you were saying. This song is to anyone. It's to ARMY around the world because it's these people. To me, these people are representing people in their own lives around the world that have been, through listening to this song, transported to the moment. So they're experiencing each other in 3D instead of just through the phone or just listening to it. Yeah, which I just thought was a cool way to represent that in the video.
It is a really cool way to represent that in the video. Yeah, like, he's really bringing in people from all around, reaching people from all around
from
the world.
From all over.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
So then, Kayla, you talked a little bit about this. There's like, it looks like a getaway van type of van. And there's a whole bunch of the backup dancers that are inside the van.
Yeah, they like pile out of it.
They pile out of it. And it's very reminiscent of Namjoon getting out of the ambulance.
And
the
mic drop.
And mic drop. Yeah.
Totally. I just thought it was cool. It's just what
I thought. It is a cool shot.
And when the women backup dancers get out of that van,
charge out of it.
They kill it. Yeah. They steal the show. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm obsessed with their dance moves during that. Like, it was spotlight
very
on
powerful.
Them. Yeah. I mean, something that we noticed both in the music video and in the live performance video was like the dance company are incredible. Like, they just contribute so much to the song.
Yeah. And they really highlight this incredible choreography.
Yeah,
like, there are so many little bits and pieces of the choreo, and honestly, I'm like thinking like we could have a whole podcast episode about it, because the choreography is just so fantastic. The kind of like rolling the arms out to the side and like slowing it down some at certain parts, you know, the real wide kind of legs out, arms
up and down, legs like flapping in and out,
in
like
and out.
I don't know why that's so hot.
It's hot. And he'll do it aggressively and then he'll slow it down a little bit. You're like, yeah, Jungkook. We see you. We know what you're doing.
He knows. Not even to mention that small little baby step walk that they do with like the little hip swinging and the hand down.
Hand patting down, like he's like dribbling a basketball kind of.
Yeah, you know what
Stop
he's
it.
You know what he's dribbling. Yeah.
Stop. All right.
Yeah. Also, we get like a shot back on the stairs, and you have to like just go look for it specifically when he says he's hot-hearted, when he fans his chest and opens his jacket up. So you just see like full chest, full
pecs,
everything, pecs, abs. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
And then after this, it's like he's reached the top of the stairs that we kind of see him climbing, and he falls off of it, which we were kind of talking before the episode, what are these stairs representing? Like, it's the climb, it's the grind, the constant, you know, upward motion of Jungkook in his career. But I'm also kind of thinking about that champagne confetti euphemism, and this him reaching his climax and then going off the end, you know, like diving into it type of thing.
I could see that too. I also feel like with the mirror, it's very like optical illusion-y. And you know, I think of like that kind of endless staircase optical illusion. So I feel like with the play of like 3D, 2D, him reaching the top of the stairs and then falling off of it, you know, like there, it doesn't make really any sense. It's like the stairs leading to nothing.
It made me, when you put it that way, it makes me think of MC Escher's Stairs like painting, where it's all those stairs all over the place and they kind of go into each other, but it's very two-dimensional, and it's like he got off of them and now he's in 3D type of thing. So he fell off of the painting. Or you had mentioned before, but before recording also, you mentioned that like endless stairs art exhibit where someone like climbs the stairs and then they fall off, bounce back up and restart climbing, you know? A little similar to that as well. So many things that these stairs here could represent, but he looks fine as hell on them anyways.
Does. Every shot on those stairs, he looks phenomenal.
So
as the song is like kind of building a little bit more, I just have to talk about like Jungkook, he's wearing like this, I don't know if it's like a racer jacket type thing. He's rocking the racer jackets. He wore that in Seven too.
Mm-hmm. With the white tank underneath.
Yeah, with the white tank underneath, jeans. But like, he's got all his piercings, like the lip piercing. He looks very, very edgy, mm-hmm. a little rebellious.
The like the undercut haircut, the yeah. black hair. Yeah. And like,
in which, if you really think about it, like in retrospect here, like Jungkook has always been a little rebellious. Mm-hmm. You know, I think back to like when he would listen to, you know, like screamo punk music as like a 14-year-old right. when he started with BTS.
It's know? Who he is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, he's fully tatted. Yeah, piercings. Yeah, yeah, it's just kind of his aesthetic. Mm-hmm. So we get a little bit of that edginess with this look here, and he just looks great.
He looks so good. He's got that cheek flexing thing going on in this.
He's flexing his cheeks. He's furrowing his brows. It's
the,
like,
ooh, the brow furrow. The brow constant furrow brow is furrow?
Constant. Oh. It's constant.
It's so hot. Like he is staring us down. There's so many times that we watch this music video that we just scream.
Yeah. 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 We haven't even gotten to the fire hydrant. So.
Oh my God. Yeah. There is, before the fire hydrant, there's this really cool shot of like him floating above, and it's a shot from below and all these hands reaching up to him. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think about, if we're thinking about like 2D, 3D, like us mm-hmm. trying to reach him through the phone, reach him through the screen, but we can't quite touch mm-hmm. him. He's a little bit unattainable. But it also reminded me of Jimin's face off when he is in that shot and he's yeah. floating above.
I and was all like, the hands are reaching up, for
up to him.
Him
and reaching yeah, for him. Yeah.
I see that too. Mm-hmm. I also kind of, I don't know why, like this particular screenshot that we have in the Google Doc of him hovering over everyone else, it looks like crowd surfing almost.
Yeah.
It gives me a little crowd surfing.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a neat shot. It looks
it's really
cool.
Great. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So then this is when we see Jungkook with the sleeveless tank, a black sleeveless tank, and he has a sledgehammer over his shoulder. And he's just so casually strutting over to this fire hydrant.
In his like, Lemonade era, like Beyonce vibes, strutting over with a sledgehammer to hit a fucking fire hydrant.
Yeah. 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 Like we all know it's where he's going. We know what right. he's up to.
Right.
The only downside is we don't actually see him hit the fire hydrant.
Right.
Like it would have been so cool to see him swing it.
I
know.
Like I was really looking for that. Like to see like his muscles ripple as he, you know. Yeah.
His muscles would ripple.
They would. But we get the idea of it. And yeah. it's perfectly timed with, of course, the line champagne confetti. So uh-huh. this is like he hits the fire hydrant and then he says champagne confetti. Yeah. And then it cuts to him dancing in the champagne confetti of the fire hydrant raining all over him.
Raining all over
raining.
Him.
Raining.
Hair
rain,
is
rain,
wet.
Rain.
Shirt is wet.
God damn. Yeah. And you know, the huge arms, the big muscles, they are
the
like
tats.
On display.
Like he's, yeah, because he's in this shirtless tank.
Yeah.
Or a sleeveless tank.
Oh my God. The fact that it's a black tank, it like looks so good with his tats and yeah. like gives that edginess, but he is just really working it. Like this part of the song goes back and forth between like body shots and kind of closer up face shots, and it's just like bam bam, like constant yeah. camera moving back and forth. Overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It's too much.
It's iconic.
It
in
is
my
iconic.
Mind this is iconic, the hitting a fire hydrant, dancing in yeah. the water
yeah.
and just it's the climax of the song. It's mm-hmm. the biggest part of the last bit of the chorus here. Mm-hmm. And he is just eating up this choreography. Mm-hmm. Wet.
Looking massive, drenched in
low camera angles.
Oh God, just incredible.
Cheek
the
flexing.
Low camera angles, the cheek flexing. I mean, I really cannot stop talking about how big his arms look.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's like it's insane.
And his chest.
And his chest. And yeah. I'm not okay.
But
I'm really not okay.
Gosh. The choreo really hits here. I cannot shut up about the choreo.
This is the part where he's doing like the legs going in and out and kind of pumping his arms that like mm-hmm. looks so good. There's also one part where he like puts his fist straight down between his legs
uh-huh.
where it's just like, look at my big muscly arms right here.
My tricep lines.
Look at my chest.
Yeah, I'm
right.
a sucker for a tricep line.
Uh-huh. Damn.
Okay.
I'm just, yeah.
But yeah, we see tats. We see his lip ring, his wet hair, his furrowed brows. Mm.
Everything.
It's everything.
It's so good. It is so iconic. It's like We totally, if you guys didn't notice, skipped over Jack Harlow's entire part of this music video.
Yeah,
irrelevant.
No,
we talked about it enough, but this part of the music video, if it like, it saves it. It's like the reason to still watch this music video. Totally like makes you want to watch this music video just to see Jungkook here at the end.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
Damn. God damn.
Don't have timestamps, but it's probably the last like what?
45 60 seconds.
40 seconds. Yeah.
Go watch. That's probably the most replayed.
I mean,
it's,
yeah.
They've seen it, but it has to be the most replayed.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, like, when I close my eyes, I just want that on repeat in my mind. Mm-hmm. Like, when I dream, I just want to dream about that moment.
Yeah.
If only.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, let's talk a little bit about the live performance video and the dance practice video. So,
before we do that, I just now realized like 7 and 3D, they're both numbers. I wonder if his album will have like a number theme.
Ooh, I wonder. Also, I was thinking in both music videos, he got wet. Like, he was literally swimming, soaked in it.
That is true. Yeah.
So a theme for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, we'll see. We shall see. I'm really anticipating his album because these first two songs are incredible.
They're pretty big hits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with the live performance video, we love this because we love the live vocals that we got here.
Really, like, strong live vocals.
Really.
I cannot get over how effortless it looked on his end.
For real.
Like the performance video, you hear his vocals so strongly and it's like he's not even thinking twice about it.
Literally.
His vocal ability is just like at that level.
Yeah. It's literally just second nature to him. He was focusing on like executing those dance moves and like looking fine as hell. And that's all he had to think about because like the vocals were just phenomenal. Yeah. He really never disappoints. Those high notes are just second nature to him, and during all of that choreo that we saw in the live video, super stable. Like, I mean, we're not surprised. We saw him on Suchuta, like with the karaoke,
the hours of karaoke.
But yeah, I mean, it really just is incredible and like affirming to remember how talented he is, like, and how talented BTS are with their live vocals. Like, they truly are really, really talented singers and musicians.
Yeah, there's no denying that. I also think that the performance video had a really cool premise. Like, he's meeting up with someone at this hotel, which at first I thought it was a mansion. I thought it was just a straight up mansion.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool. I don't know, like the different rooms of a mansion. Like, it just looked like a lot of fun. But it's a hotel, which is fine too.
Yeah.
But just kind of a cool scene that like it's an empty hotel and it's just him and the backup dancers and it seems like they're all there just having a good time, you know? The dancers were really, really so awesome, just brought lots of personality to the video and made it super fun. I felt like, you know, it was just such a diverse group of people together, and seeing them all like meet up outside the hotel out on like that front lawn area.
Right.
It really looked, and some of them were up on the balcony too. Like it looked like they genuinely had a fun time filming this performance video.
And I thought was great too is that we recognized some of those dancers in the dance company, like either from the Seven music video or just from previous BTS works that we've seen them dance on and collaborate with them. So it seems like, you know, these are people that might typically work together anyways and have a really great synergy. And they like really brought that into this performance. They just really, I think, heightened Jungkook's performance and added to it. So really, really enjoyed that live performance video.
Me too.
And the dance practice video is awesome too, because you got to see them all prepare and get ready for that live performance video. Jungkook looks phenomenal in that white like tank top, black pants, like also fucking sexy. So
I mean, the visuals are consistent with Jungkook.
That's true. We're still anticipating maybe another performance video or two from Jungkook for this song, because on TikTok a few weeks ago there was an army that posted a video of Jungkook performing what we now know is this song at Grand Central Station in New York.
Yeah.
And it was definitely him, and it was like the same outfit, except for instead of the white suit, it was a black suit. And I remember like seeing him like spread his arms out and like his whole chest, like you can see the whole thing. And so I'm still waiting for that. I'm wondering where that is or what that is.
Might be more to come. Yeah.
We shall see.
I've also kind of heard some other rumors of another song with a different collaboration potentially happening. So
from Jungkook?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I made that up in my mind. But I do think, like, we should be getting an album, I would think, from him at some point. So it makes sense that there might be another big hit with another song. But, man, he has these huge, huge hits that are, in my mind, it makes sense that out of the seven members of BTS, like, Jungkook, for sure, aligns more strongly musicality-wise with Western pop. So, yeah, his comeback is quite different from the rest of the members and their albums and kind of their messages, too, in their songs. Whereas Jungkook's music, and I'm not saying this in a negative way, but Jungkook's music, it just makes more sense that he has these more, like, generically pop kind of songs.
Yeah, like, we're not putting depth into the lyrics here, like, they're easier to understand, and we know that he's not the one writing these.
He's not writing them. Yeah.
Likes the songs a lot, like he talked about a lot when he saw Seven. When he instantly heard Seven, he was like, this is my song, I need this song.
Yeah,
but I can imagine, I agree with you, like, his musicality style is that Western pop style, and he's always enjoyed this music. We know throughout his whole career, like, that's who he's been listening to. Yeah. He used to talk about how much he loved Justin Bieber and, like, the Purpose album. So I just think that it makes sense that this is the music he's wanting to make now, and I could imagine that he's, like, the most motivated member to break into that Western audience even more as a solo artist, and I think he can definitely do it. Like, he's already been successful with it, so I'm excited to see, like, the rest of the album and see, like, what kind of success it can have here in the States, because I do think that, like, any casual listener who hears these songs on the radio should enjoy them.
Absolutely. Yeah. I really do feel that way. So I'm curious to see what else. Like, to me, I don't think there's a song catchier than Seven, more radio play than Seven.
Right.
But yeah, be very curious.
Yeah.
I also feel too, just like, he clearly wants, or at least the style of his songs has a rap verse in it, and he has rap collaborations on these songs, which I feel like, you know, pop music, rap music, American, you know, more Western style music, like, I feel like lyrically and thematically, you know, we start getting into this terrain of more, you know, explicit.
Suggestive, yeah, explicit. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even just regular pop songs are just typically not, okay, I'm gonna generalize, but, like, rooted in love, you know, and, like, that can be, like, the poppy, very cute, but it's really easy for songs to dive into the more explicit side of that and the more suggestive side of that. So, I mean, even your favorite pop artist, like, if you read the lyrics, they still have those innuendos there. So
I just want to say that, because I just feel like it is a little bit of a change up from what we know BTS to be, you know. I feel like lyrically,
I think that that's fair, but I also think that BTS have been saying dirty shit in their songs
always. They have.
And we just didn't always catch it because it was in Korean, and sometimes when you translate it, that gets lost in translation a little bit. But like, even
they're definitely not saying it in English.
No, they haven't. Yeah, but it's
a
little new, but it's really not that new. Like, it's always been there for them, and
I agree.
Like, I think we should expect it too. They're mature, they're adults. That's chapter two. Like, they're all shirtless. Like, why are we surprised that Jungkook is talking about sex? Like, we should just be happy and, like, thank you, Jungkook, for giving us this visual. But I understand if it's not everyone's cup of tea, you know, like, especially if you just listen for the good vibes or, like, for the positivity of BTS's music. And this doesn't lean that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like the beauty of having all seven members here release their music and just getting a taste of their style and, you know, what they like to sing. And I don't know, like, to me, 3D and Seven really screamed Yeon Jungkook to me. This feels very his style, his alley.
I
like
agree.
Hearing the JT kind of sound from him, I'm like, wow, it makes a lot of sense.
I think that's why, like, I never questioned the music that he's delivering us, because it does just feel very him to me. Like, it makes sense just knowing, like, the type of music he likes and, like, that he's kind of this emo, edgier, piercings, tattoos. Like, he's not afraid to push the limits and to, like, go outside of that, like, you know, what we might consider our comfort zone with that. Like, he's like, I'm ready. Let's go.
But I still love that we see, like, in the music video, still his cute little quirkiness too, though.
Totally.
Like, you still see that a little bit.
Well,
in these,
he's
especially
always still
in Seven.
Cute bunny Jungkook.
Yeah.
Like, like no matter what.
Like, you still see that authenticity, you know? You see that personality come through.
Yeah. I think he's authentically him, and he definitely has, like, an aesthetic that he loves and that he wants to put out there, too.
For sure.
But he can't help but to be himself, too.
Yeah.
We love the song.
We do.
We love Jungkook in it, and we're really... really happy with both of the singles he's put out so far, and we're looking forward to what other music he might have for us before the military enlisting.
Why do you have to bring that
I'm
up?
I'm sorry, I don't know. I'm trying to stop.
You want to end on that?
I tried to stop, and then I was like, where am I going with this? But I'm just thinking about how somebody said that if BTS all enlist by the end of this year, then they'll all be out by June 2025. So I'm like, put your music out and go,
I know,
please.
I've been saying that. It's like, I don't want them to go, but just go.
Just go. Rip we almost have Jin off. Back now. It's only a few more months. You know, like in my mind, I'm like, okay, it's like 2 more months. I know it's like 8 more months, but it's so soon that we're going to have Jin again, and then we'll have Hobie. Like,
oh my God, Hobie.
I know.
Jen.
I can't wait either. Yeah. So anyways, we absolutely love this song by Jungkook, and thank you again, Jungkook, for this incredible music, and we are highly, highly anticipating your album whenever you have it. So
yes,
we do want to say a special thanks to our VIP Iconics, especially our supporters on Patreon, especially our VIPs, Eileen, Michelle, Holly, Meg, Rachel, Robin, and Deja. Thank you guys so much for all of your support.
Thank you.
And the rest of you Iconics that join us for the Iconic Hangouts. We love you guys so much, and we hope to see you next month again. Last week's Iconic Hangout was super fun.
It was really wonderful.
Yeah, just really.
I got all my feels.
I love. Yeah. I just love catching up with these ladies too. They're just the best.
Yes.
But if you guys enjoyed this episode, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Write a review on Apple or Spotify, wherever you listen, or you can always comment on our posts about it and get in the chat with other Iconics, and you guys can compare thoughts and feelings. You can always find links for all of those things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for stanning BTS.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.